because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Friday morning. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for joining us. Hey, Pastor Dale Socha, I'm wearing that new shirt you got me, the Man Up shirt. If somebody wants one, I don't know how to tell you get one, but I thank Pastor Dale. You know, that's one of the things I'm excited about on our event next weekend, the All Hands on Deck event. But you know what? Some of you guys are going to get to meet some of these guys. It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. So I know Pastor Dale. Some of you guys don't. You've heard him. You see him on the show. You're going to look him in the eye. You're going to shake his hand. You're going to watch him do his thing. It's going to be awesome. And the relationships that are going to be built next week are what really, really encourages me. And I want everybody to know this. Y'all matter. Every one of you matter. And, you know, one of the hardest things that I try to juggle, I want to talk about a couple different things. So it's Flea Flicker Friday. And I don't want to be Rush Limbaugh and could say open line Friday and then not let you talk about what you want to. So it is going to be Flea Flicker. I got a lot of stuff I'd like to be able to share. But one of the toughest things we do, I do, is try to juggle this show to make it meet and fit the needs and desires of everybody. That is so, that's so hard. It's so hard. And so I get up this morning and I got a bunch of great stuff I want to talk about, but I do a lot of talking. And, you know, Rush Limbaugh, what is it, Rush Limbaugh? Rush says, this show is about what I think. Well, I don't want this show to be about what I think. I mean, it is part of it, and it's important, but I'm not always right. And I think if you watch this show often, you know, I don't say that. I don't say I'm always right. I like to throw it on the table. And I got a couple of emails in the last couple of weeks. Let me clarify something, okay? This free flow of ideas here, folks, free flow of ideas. And just for some of you sent me an email. I want to know if I had some plants. That's what they said, plants. I'm going to tell you this. Larry Richardson is not the resident theologian. Okay. Now he may think he is. And sometimes he says things that I agree with. And sometimes he says things I don't agree with, but I ain't going to turn this in a back and forth theological discussion. Larry throws things on the table. He makes his point. We move on. Roger is not the resident attorney. He just happens to join the show. I don't pay him to come in here. George is not the resident pat me on the back guy. We don't have any of that kind of stuff, okay? This is a free flow forum. Say what you want to. And if somebody says something that I disagree, I'm probably going to say something about it. But you'll notice a lot of times during this show, somebody will say something and I don't really comment on it. And I don't really comment on it because the scripture says, foolish and unlearned questions do avoid, for they do engender strifes. And I don't want to make it about debate back and forth. If it's a technical enough issue, then we'll stop and we'll discuss it. If I talk about a young earth or old earth or flat earth or round earth, and I talk about baptism or speaking in tongues or I talk about all these things, I don't want to turn this into a theological debate every time wrong. Okay? So listen, if you say, Larry, don't take this personally. If you say you're tired of hearing from Larry, well, then get your butt on the queue and let's hear from you. You know, we got 30-some people in here, and the truth is most of you never open your mouth. Most of you. And then I'm getting emails. And Vince is not the assigned tinfoil hat guy. He just comes in and he brings it to the plate, okay? And so I let him do it. And so the 30 of you, do you guys know this? You know there are thousands of people listening to this show, thousands. And sometimes we get in here in the queue and there's 25 or 30 of us in the queue and we think we're the whole show. There's thousands of people that are watching and listening to this show. Okay. And so I'm trying to juggle this thing so that it is informative and applicable. And you know, every day it may not be your cup of tea and that's okay. And every day when I say something, even though you may not believe this, I'm not talking about you. I'm not picking on you. Quit taking everything personal. Okay? It's an open forum. And the multitude of many counselors, great wisdom. Go ahead, Vince.
Hey, I just want to say this. We're here because we want to be here. No one's being paid to come here. You're not the
resident Negro. You're not the high.
Thanks for not saying that first. Thanks for calling me the tinfoil hat guy first and not the black guy. That's how realistic.
I've got an important question though, Dave, to kick off today.
All right.
First, I am the only resident good-looking bald guy on the show. Here's my question.
Apparently, the only one that's blind. Go ahead.
My first question is, first of all, it's foundationally built. I love all the guys. I love the huddle. But here's my question. It's Flea Flicker Friday. Well, I want to take you to Friday. When do you call a flea flicker play? I want to know. When do you call it? We have them on Friday. When do you, as coach, call a flea flicker in a game?
When they don't expect it.
That's right.
Everything is deception. That's why the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself said to do what? Be wise as serpent and harmless as a dove. And I've used this illustration before. He's saying deception is a good thing. The Lord's saying that, folks. Listen to me. Hear me. Don't always show your hand. Deception is a good thing. The enemy works through deception. The enemy works through infiltration. The Lord said, watch him. Be wise as that serpent. Wise as him. Okay, and harmless as a dove. So a flea flicker, a flea flicker doesn't work when it's third and 18 and you're behind four touchdowns. It don't work then, man. A flea flicker works when it's 7-7 and it's fourth and one. That's when a flea flicker works, when they least expect it. So what did Jared put up there? It says all warfare is based on deception. There you are. Wow. Hence, when we are able to attack, we must seem unable. Wow, this is really good. Thanks, Jared. Let's do this. Start again. All warfare is based on deception. Hence, when we are able to attack, we must seem as if we are unable. When using our forces, we must appear like we're not using our forces, inactive. When we are near, we must make the enemy believe we are far away. And when we are far away, we must make him believe we are near. Is that unbelievable? Huh? And so the other side, let's be truthful, the other side's mastered this. They've mastered it. They have. And we don't get it. Although I do think Trump gets it. I think Trump does a lot of that kind of stuff. I bet he's read that book. He probably needs to read the Bible a little bit more. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible ain't the only informative book. There's a lot of good stuff out there that you can read that'll open your eyes. And so I read the Bible, but I read a lot of other stuff too. Did that answer your question, Roger? Did that answer your question?
It absolutely did, baby. But once again, I'm the resident bald guy. Nobody can have that position.
Hey, Roger, let me help you out on the bald guy part. Find you some persimmons this summer when they start getting ripe and when they're still a little bit green. Take you some of that persimmon, squeeze it, get some juice out, and rub it all over your head. Now, it doesn't grow hair, but what hair is there will pull right up to the middle.
All righty. That's going to make me sexier, I bet.
Yeah, Roger, you'd have to change all your advertising so you don't want to do that. Listen, let me pick up another topic. Flea flicker. Guys, I got some great stuff to share with you, okay? But some of these things are near and dear to my heart. I have controlled anger. I want you to hear me. If your anger isn't controlled, it ain't any good. I'm going to get it again. They say, Coach, I watch the show a lot. Boy, you seem so angry. Well, if you would follow me around during the day, you'd find out that my anger isn't manifesting itself in an unrighteous way. It's not. I don't go around and blow up mailboxes and cut down trees on people's properties and block them. I don't do that. I have controlled righteous anger. And when I'm on the show and I come out, people say your veins start popping, Coach, your eyes get big, and your face gets red. I want you to know something. My anger is under control. And even though it may not seem like it to you on the show, this is a show. When we go to the streets next weekend, you're going to find controlled anger. In fact, I'm gonna talk to some of you about that one and some of our sessions when we get together. I'm gonna explain some of these things and why it is important. Because listen, anger can be your best friend or your worst friend, and it all depends on how you control it. All right. I got some more stuff today on abortion. It just grieves my heart, and I just say over. I know this. The Lord's heart is broken over the killing of unborn children, broken to the point where His rage must be unbelievable. Amen. How he is holding back His wrath is beyond me. Now, why aren't we mad? Why aren't we mad? And so when I say that, see, our anger should not lead us to blowing up abortion clinics, but our anger should lead us to do more than we are currently doing. The average pastor in America either is not angry about abortion, doesn't know what abortion is, doesn't know the Lord's opinion on abortion, or I don't know what the average pastor, because there is zero. You touch a flame, ooh, you jump. I was watching a video the other day of actual abortion, partial birth abortion. I won't even bring it to the screen. I was watching, and I flinched, and oh, Lord, oh. Why wouldn't we show something like that in church? Because if we showed something like that in church, it would be a visceral reaction. So the fact that we don't know, that we don't see what's going on behind those closed doors in the abortion clinic doesn't mean it's not going on. So I want some of you to think. Wait, hang on a second, Chad, because I spoke yesterday about, you know, guys coming here, we got to get angry. Listen, when you come this next weekend, bring your anger, but bring your clutch. All right? Bring your clutch. This is going to be structured. This isn't going to be everybody running around doing their own thing. We're going to be structured. Go ahead, Chad.
I was just going to say, if you can hear me, okay, the push up phone thing. All right. I personally am sick of people saying that you're yelling or you're angry or whatever. I see that on so many sites. They're like, golly, why are you sound like you're mad or whatever? Then don't listen. Don't listen. Because, look, you knew what you were getting into when you came on to this show. It's your Coach Dave, for Pete's sake. Did these people never participate in any type of organized sports? I'm just tired of hearing about, look, I think if you're one of those that are complaining about Dave being loud or yelling or because he's angry, for Pete's sake, you're part of the problem, as far as I'm concerned.
Amen.
Right, thank you.
Hey, Chad, you would attest to this. Some of you guys in the queue I know and know very well. Some of you have been in my house, and some of I've been in your house. And you know this. I'm not an angry guy. When you're around me and you leave and we've parted for the evening, you don't go home and say to your wife, God, he is so angry. That's not what you get from me. It may be what you get on the show. I'm not an angry I'm a happy guy.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You're passionate, and that's why those of us that have gotten to know you, because you're passionate about the things of the Lord. And that's the difference. I can remember, you know, a number of years ago, I would get mad at the dumbest things, just things that were fleshly, worldly, people's personality, someone bothering me. But you know what? When you're about the Lord's business, like you are, you're passionate. Well, there's a difference between being passionate and just being perpetually angry. But the anger, I mean, and like you said, that's a controlled thing. But I think what people are seeing is the passion. And if they don't like that, if they don't like someone being passionate about the Lord, well, then you know what? You probably won't be attracted to what we're doing. But if we call ourselves Christians, we should be for what the Lord's for and against what he's against.
Remember this, George. Thank you, George. Remember this. My personality was molded by my job, or my job more. However, as a coach, emotion is so important. And as a coach, and you got guys in the locker room, you got guys on the field or in the heat of a battle, emotion is so critical. Now, you got to know when things are going bad, everybody's got to look at you and you got to be cool. You're okay with it. You're under control. And when there are other times when you got to look like you're out of control, because I'm not faking it, okay? I'm not faking it. But I try to read the tempo. I try to read the emotion during a football game. There's a time to yell. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to let that emotion out, and there's a time to be controlled. And a good, effective leader knows when those times are. They know when they are. And if you think you turn on any college basketball game, and they always have a picture on the coach on the sideline. They'll pan to what's the coach doing. And we used to love it when Bobby Knight would throw his chair across the table, and we would love it when he would give the referees all kinds of what for. They'd give him a technical, say, "Yeah, Bobby's giving them hell. Look about, yeah, don't." We love that in a coach, right? We love that in, right? And if you were to hang around Bobby Knight, if you were one of his friends, he's probably a good beer drinking, fun time guy, probably. But when you're doing a job demands certain types of emotions, behaviors. And I don't think there's anything at all that compares to the job of a coach, because the job of a coach is to get the team to perform at its highest level. Now, fellas, what if pastors took that approach? To try to get those people in the church to perform to the highest level of possible where they are. That would require some yelling sometimes, and that would require some discipline sometimes, and that would be required making examples of people sometimes. That would require all that. Now, I'm smart enough to know this. If I got a problem, if I got a problem with George, I don't say it here. I pick up the phone, I call George. You get it? Yeah, public shaming. Sometimes you have to have public shaming. When I'm coaching and a child, a player would challenge me in front of everybody else, game's on, publicly. But I would never, ever try to publicly shame somebody for something they said or something they did. I would first do what the Bible says, go to them one-on-one, say, "Hey, dude, come on, man." That's the way the Bible buys it out. So I'm not trying to make little tin soldiers here. I'm just trying to make soldiers. Okay. And some of you respond to pats on the back, and some of you respond to kicks in the butt. And it's all part of what goes on here. Is that Glenn? Go ahead. Whoever's that, Glenn? Or somebody came in.
I would say this, though. The men in the huddle and those that are listening, you need to be prepared to answer that question, though. Why are you angry? You need to be, because that question is coming. It's like when I was in my little principal meeting a month or so ago, when I was told that, you know, maybe people don't talk to me because they are afraid of you. And I was like, are you kidding me? They're afraid of Roger Weaver with what's going on in the world and what evil's coming their way. I'm a snowflake compared to what the Bible says is coming. If they fade and fold around me, we really don't stand a chance.
That's right. Remember what I said? The way you react says a lot about you. Okay? So, Jaron.
Just a quick analogy. Right? Anger's like fire, right? And so what makes fire good when you put it in a stove? Okay, and then then it gives life. The fire controlled gives life. What do farmers do on their fields? They burn them every once in a while to get rid of the crap, you know. So we said no more fire here. We're not allowed to have fire here. We don't use fire here because we're just holier than thou. We don't do that fire thing. And then the people from like Norway are like, "What the hell is wrong with you people? You have to use fire. You're dying." You know?
Right. Yeah, well said, Jared. Well said. Hey, listen, folks, if you're trying to get in right now and nobody lets you in, it's because Jared gets busy working the board. So just keep – if you try to get in and just spins and nobody lets you in, Jared's got a lot going on. And the only way you can get into the queue is he lets you in. So bear with us, okay? Bear with us.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
You hit on something earlier, and, man, I'm just speaking – sometimes it hits me, man, that we have thousands of people out here, and I think that's awesome. And I'll speak for myself and hopefully for everyone else on the queue. us guys that speak regularly, it's not because we just wake up every day and say, man, we want to be heard by thousands of people. It's really not. It's because we're just average people that we've woken up. We're extremely passionate about our culture. You know, the other day I told my wife, you know, what drives me is our grandkids, is knowing, doing everything I can so that they don't live under tyranny. But this is what I want to say to all you thousands out there. There's some of you, you are so bottled up right now. You have so much that is in you. You have so much that needs to come out. And I'll venture to say, hey, if I don't ever speak again on the queue, but you guys would come in and you'd start sharing and let us know what you're learning and give your input, that would be just fine, because this isn't about any one person speaking and just getting their ego stroked. It's about building the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and that alone. And that is our sole mission. So I'd encourage you guys that, man, you've got it in you. Let it come out. It's not that intimidating, because what you're going to find is this is a perfect outlet for the gifts that God's put in you to start coming out.
I had a conversation yesterday with a guy who loves me and a guy that I love. And he said, you know, he watched the show and he says, Coach, you got to be a little bit careful, because some of those guys are still bleeding, and they are bleeding. And because they're bleeding, he said, you got to be careful, because that could be dangerous when you go to the streets and all that kind of stuff. And I said, yeah, I get it. And he made a good point. He says, you know, some of those guys who can't wait to get out on the street, their marriage is not in shape. Their children are out of whack. Everything about their life is not very good. And so when they come and they want to come and go to the streets, they shouldn't be going to the streets. They need to take care of what's at home. And I said, well, yeah, that's true to a degree. But here's what I found has happened. A lot of people, when they go to the streets, do better at home. Does that make sense, fellas? A lot of guys, when they go out on the streets and they grow some hair and they understand the spiritual battle, their faith comes alive to them, and therefore they begin to take a bit more control of what's going on at home. Would anybody amen that? Am I talking to anybody out there?
Amen, brother.
Amen, Coach.
Amen.
Right on.
So that's not one or the other. It's supposed to be both. But I have seen, listen, I can't tell you. I got to know George Lewis 4 years ago, maybe, George, 5 years ago. He called me out of the blue. I wrote something on News with Views, and George called me. I didn't know George. He didn't know me. And we had a conversation. And that's where the relationship with George Lewis began. And I can't tell you the change in the life of George Lewis in those last 4 years. Amen, George?
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Amen. That's my goal. And George Lewis, I'll bet you, I don't know this, he's out on the streets, he's more active, he's taking the red pill, his eyes are open. I bet he's a better husband now. I bet he's a better father. I bet he's a better grandfather. I bet he's a better businessman. As he begins to get a bit bigger picture of what's going on, that this world we're in isn't just about you. And if we can get you out on the streets and you can understand the war, the real war that's raging out there and who the real enemy is, it's amazing how things in home tend to change as well. Now, there's some conflict because your wife's trying to figure out what happened to my husband, and that takes a while. That takes a while. But as the man begins to get it, the man begins to become more of a man at home, there's some rough spots, but it begins to eventually fall in place. Go ye therefore. Let me throw that out there. Forgot this weekend. I'm sorry, Pastor Mike Spaulding. Lima, Ohio. Go ye therefore. It's going to be a great event. Starts tonight. Starts tonight, 7 o'clock. Find out some of that stuff on our website. Somebody, Joe, I got a couple things to show you. Somebody, I feel somebody out there.
Hey, you know what, Coach? I just wanted to say before I get out of here that, you know, I say all the time, some people have, in conversations, some people have said, well, David, you moved to Ohio for Coach or for Pastor Bill Dunphy? No, David moved to Ohio because this is where the Lord placed me. This is where the Lord told me I was going to be.
Amen.
When I say that Jesus changed my life, but Coach changed my walk, I say that because Coach gave me the platform that no other Christian man would do. Coach gave me the courage, the encouragement. He pushed me to do more of what I always wanted to do. And that's what I get from even the huddle, even from the men in the huddle. So it's not about following anybody, because we're following Christ. We all have the same call because we all know his voice, but we all have a separate mission. And so we're all working in different areas, because the body doesn't function without different, many different parts of the body functioning. So I didn't come to Ohio for Coach Dave, for Pastor Salt, for Pastor Bill Dunford, for New Beginnings, for IBA Ministries. I came to Ohio because the Lord said, I'm going to be in Ohio, when I wanted to move to North Carolina. So that's why I'm here. And I'm here because Coach will encourage you and push you and give you that. And he's the same person off camera that he is on camera, but he's a different man off camera and on camera. Because when you spend time in his home and you see how he interacts with his daughters and his son-in-laws and his grandchildren and his wife, then you see a totally different person. And you see where the passion that he reveals on the show, because it's a show, you see the passion comes from the love that he has for his family and for God. And with that, wow. I'm out of here. You're going to have a blessed day, because I have an appointment.
David, thank you for that commercial, David. Thank you for that commercial.
thank you so much for that, because as you were saying that, the Spirit just prompted me to throw this in the pot. And, you know, you said that you went to Ohio because God told you to. You know what? The word of God, Jesus was speaking. He says, my sheep know my voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Now, if you are one of his sheep, if you are a brother and sister to Jesus Christ, and you are not hearing God try to lead and direct your steps and tell you where you're supposed to go and who you're supposed to talk to, and you are a brother or sister in Christ, then my recommendation would be, start working on your hearing.
Hallelujah. I'm out here.
Bless you, David. Bless you, David. Yeah, I'll see you tonight, man. See you tonight there in Lima. Good. It's good. It is good. Praise the Lord. It'd be like, you know, it's the same thing when I was coaching high school kids. I don't want to make this about me. This is germane. Not German. This is germane. I know all kinds of big words. My players, our football players that I coached, probably never really knew me as a person, because you just don't have that opportunity to do that. Right? You think I go up and yell at my wife and stomp around and throw things? You think I live a life like that?
Absolutely not.
No. So when you do, there are certain parts. I am a coach. I'm not playing the role of a coach. I am a coach. And when I come down here, I put on my coach's hat and I become a coach. That's what I do. And I'm trying to make each and every one of you the best you can be. And if your feelings get hurt, don't get mad at me. Ask yourself, why are my feelings hurt?
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
It's not your fault that people act like Private Pyle when you're being sergeant. Okay.
Yeah. Shazam! Amen. That's good. I got so much stuff to throw on the table. I'm going to be patient here. Anybody have anything specifically?
Dave. Chad Eric. I want to, I hadn't thrown this out in a while, but I want to remind folks, look, to try to buy some type of silver or whatever. If you can afford gold, you're doing better than me, but even if you can only buy one coin, I'm just talking one coin a month, that's something. And then try to put some food and stuff away. And if you need some firearms training, get some, please. There's I just think we're running out of time.
Chad, you know, I was looking at something today. I'm not an expert, but I just happened to see something today. I can't remember what website I'm on. Silver's at $16.77. It's been there for, I don't know. Folks, look around how everything is going. Everything's gone up, but not silver and gold.
Right.
So I think what Chad's saying, I'm not giving financial advice, okay? But I would say, this is my suggestion. I think if things really, really get tough, you're going to need silver coins, old silver coins. They call it junk silver. If you get a quarter, an old silver quarter pre-1964, that is 1/4 of an ounce of silver, okay? Now, an ounce of silver, do the math, the ounce of silver is about, let's say it's $17, just to round it off. Let's make it 16 so it'll be easy. Let's say silver is $16 an ounce, and you have a quarter, that's a quarter of an ounce of silver. So the quarter that you have, the pre-1964 quarter, is a quarter of 16. So the pre-1964 quarter you have is worth $4, except it's not worth $4 because silver coins are only about 75% silver. So there's some dross in there. But let's say that quarter that you have, which is 1/4 of an ounce of silver, which is $16. So you have one, which is a quarter, but it's only 75% silver. You do the math. That quarter that you have is worth $3. It says 25 cents, folks, but it's worth $3, even right now. And the price of silver is being suppressed. And when the price of silver begins to go off, the value of that old silver coin, it's called junk silver, the value of that old junk silver coin is going to go up as well. And I think you can go out and buy a whole big locker full of gold at $1,700 an ounce or whatever it is. And when things get tough, what are you going to do with that silver? What are you going to do with it? Right. But if I have an old silver coin that's worth whatever that coin's worth, that is going to be barterable. That is going to help. I can go to my neighbor maybe and give him a couple silver quarters for a gallon of gas. I can go give him a couple silver quarters for some beef. Are you guys talking to me? Understanding? So I would say not giving financial advice, but junk silver, I think, would be something everybody ought to have. You ought to have some junk silver.
Amen, brother.
And just for the idea that you'd be able to barter. That's why I think that's what you're saying.
At $16 an ounce, American Silver Eagles are a good buy right now.
Oh, are you kidding me? Those things are going to the moon, brother. They are going to the moon. But we don't get it yet because we're so programmed. Go ahead, George.
Hey, I was just going to encourage everyone, if you're not, what Coach is saying is right, spot on. I'd encourage everyone to listen. There's two guys, they're financial guys. Well, one of them, Steve Mencking, anything that he does, he was on the Hagman Report there, and he's excellent. Then there's two other guys, Gerald Celente and Jim Willey. And I listened to both of them the last couple of days, and both of them were talking about, and if you look in the news, the alternative news especially, the European Union, they're all trying to come together. And I won't go into a whole discourse, but it's basically to push the dollar out. And what Coach is saying could very well become a reality. And having silver, maybe a little gold, but like he's saying, the junk silver and some silver eagles is an absolutely great idea. But I would study some of that economically because it'll make more sense to you.
So I'm saying, listen, I'm not saying junk silver, not for wealth storage, although it could help with that. I'm talking about barterable survival. If it ever gets to that point where the economy, how long would it take? What, a month? What if things go south for a month? What are you going to use to buy stuff? What if they tell you that dollar's collapsed and that dollar's not worth anything? What are you going to use? And so I say not for wealth preservation, but for security and preparation, I would have some junk silver, pre-1964 coins. 75%, about 75% pure silver in there. Yes.
Coach, just as a question, after 1964, what did they replace the silver with?
What is it, in a nickel? What are they making it with? It's not silver.
It's crap, right? Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Just like so here's what you got to do. If you had a night, I wish I could do that. I don't have one here. I do over there, I think. If you had a pre-1964 coin quarter and a quarter that you have today, just make this very easy. Just drop it on the floor and listen to the difference in the sound.
Gotcha.
You'll know right then, say, wow, what the heck? What the heck? So that's what I would advise. Yes, George.
Coach, where would it, because I need to get some junk silver. Where do you get it, and where would you recommend we go get that type of thing?
Well, I get it locally, Georgia, but I think that you can get it at any coin dealer. I think you could. Okay. Now, like Steve Quayle,
I just want to tell you, look, I'm not giving a plug for him or anything, but the place I go is also where I go, and they also have good articles, information on it, and they're very in tune with. They're just regular guys. There is, it's called Silver Doctors is where I get the information, and their site is sdbullion.com. sdbullion, that's Silver Doctors Bullion, sdbullion.com. And their rate is, you're going to pay a shipping rate of, guess what their price of shipping rate is? $7.77. If you can't follow these guys, I don't know who you can follow. Like, that's what I look for. I look to try to support guys that look like, at least appear like, they're supporting Christ, and rather than they could have their shipping costs at $6.66. You see?
Right.
So I'm trying to go with guys that are, look, they're trying to push Christ's agenda, at least in my opinion.
Amen. So listen, understand this. If you've got $1,000 in your bank account, I'm not giving you financial advice. I'm trying to just give you common sense. You got $1,000 in your bank account, you ain't got no control over that at all. And if the ATMs go down, there's a bank run, a three-day bank stoppage, you got $1,000 in your bank account that is no good to you at all. And it would not be very hard for you. See, it's hard for us because we've been so programmed. People, I went through this with my dear wife, who I love more than anything that was ever created. She thinks if I go buy $1,000 of silver, she thinks I've spent the money. We got to get past that mentality. You haven't spent anything. You actually have something now that you didn't have before. Before, you had digits in a bank account. Now you have tangible silver, gold and silver. So that mindset, I'm not telling you to go out and buy $1 million, $100,000 in silver. I'm just telling you that would be a very wise prep thing for you to do if you were to go out and get some $500 in junk silver, so that if tough times hit, you're going to have something that you're going to be able to barter. Am I making that clear? I'm not giving you financial advice.
Look, Dave, I'm just saying, you're exactly right. We are 9 mils, folks, from anarchy. 9. I mean, when Katrina happened, and I responded down there to Katrina, in 2 days they were fist fighting over gas. Imagine people not having any food to eat. Look at the Black Friday shopping thing for 2 television sets. Look at that crap. So if you're not hungry and your kids are crying, your grandkids are crying, and they want food. Look, I paid $15 on the side of the highway for a baby bottle because my kid was crying. $15, it's a dollar and a half at the store. You know, but, you know, you're desperate. You're going to do what you got to do. And that's,
hey, Chad,
you don't have to be desperate.
$15 is 4 silver quarters. Think about that, folks. Think about that. So I don't try to stay.
That's today's rate, but who knows what it'll be
tomorrow. Who knows what it's going to be.
Or whenever.
Listen,
the values are set to go really high silver, allegedly.
Don't buy silver as an investment, although I think it's a great investment. I would buy it as an insurance policy. That if you got $10,000 in the bank, well, God bless you. What if the bank closes?
Right.
You ain't going to get, you said, well, I got a credit card. Good luck.
Okay.
Good luck. So if something were to happen.
The FDIC is not going to be able to guarantee your $200,000. They're not going to. They can't. Look, they've oversold the gold spot 100 to 1.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
So
they don't have it. There's not going to be anything here.
That's right. So if you're going to barter, you have to ask yourself, what do you have in your house to barter with? to me. I don't want to get bogged down on this, but I think it's really, really crucial. Anybody else?
Hey, Coach.
I got my hair cut. Hang on a minute. That's what I look like. I got hair. Let me put that one on. I forgot. Go ahead.
And listen to your local pastor, some of them that say, the Lord will provide.
Yeah, he sure will. What about something about some virgins and some oil, too?
Right, George. He provided this show and this opportunity for you to hear the information and to get off your keister and get out there and start making it happen. You know, even if you're on a limited budget, I know some people that are on SSI and they make $618 a month and they have to try to sustain themselves with all that. But look, there's YouTube videos of people doing the preparations for $5 a week and they go through it. Of course, the longer you wait, the more it costs you. But look, having something is better than 100% of nothing. Just saying.
I'm saying be prepared for some type of barterable currency. That's all I'm saying. Just makes sense. Yeah, Jared.
Oh, just my experience with this. I've bought online and I've bought local. Personally, I recommend you buy local because you can look the guy in the eye, you can shake his hand, you can say, "Hey, Bill, what's the spot price? You know, what's the price?" You learn how to negotiate, you haggle with him, and you buy your silver coins. And then when shit hits the fan, you know the guy. They're gonna be profiting regardless of whether it goes up or down. So you go in locally to this guy, you say, "Hey, Bill, I know you, I've known you for 5 years. I've been buying a coin a week. I want to sell some." Cool, man. Yeah, come on in, Steve. Yeah, absolutely. I'll do you a favor. You know. By the way, can you help me move next weekend? Sure. You know, it's building that community, right? And then with the financial system. Just last week, my brother, or just 2 or 3 days ago, my brother, he had to get $800. He had to go to 4 different ATMs to get $800. Okay, you guys need to understand that this cash thing, there is a war on cash. There's a lot of YouTube war on cash, but you got to understand, you will not be able to get things out of the bank. They don't you to.
Right. It's part of the control and the manipulation, right? So remember this now, folks. Simple. For those of you, I'm talking about junk silver, which you can barter. If you go look right now, the price of silver is $17. Let's say it's a little bit below 17. If you get junk silver, remember this. It's only 3/4 of that price. That's a good target number, okay? So if the price of silver is, let's keep it round numbers, $16, junk silver, a dollar junk silver would be $12. That's about what you ought to be paying for it, plus a little bit of a fee for the guy to do the transaction. But when you make sure that if you go buy junk silver, you're not paying the silver price. It's not the same, right? Okay, it's 75% of that silver price. That's what you ought to be paying, somewhere around that. Okay.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
What I was going to suggest, you might also keep an eye on auctions, estate auctions, and stuff like that, because those happen all the time around here. I've bought a couple months ago. I bought several $100 worth of silver coins. Pre-64 coins, coin sets, even bars of silver. And I got it at auction for 15. I got a 10 ounce bar of silver for $150 for a 10 ounce bar of silver. So I got it for $15 an ounce. But also I was going to suggest that, if crap hits the fan, and you can't get any money, and your money is worthless, what do you think is going to be more valuable, gold, silver, or bullets?
Yeah. But understand this: you can't eat gold or silver. All right? You don't want to eat bullets, right? So you got to have some food. I understand, Kevin. That's a good point.
And hey, Coach, it does go back to your building downline. Is that, do you know your neighbor?
Yep.
Do you know, because the community, that's what will keep, you can have the silver, whatever. You go rush on something, you might become a statistic. Somebody might cap you for your silver. They might invade your home. You got to know your, and I don't say that hypocritically. I know my neighbors. I got keys to their house. I've built those relationships. If something were to happen, the community comes together and we support one another and we can take care of one another and we can protect one another, because there is then power in numbers. I'd rather have 15 of my neighbors possessing guns and having guns to protect our little community versus just my little family trying to protect itself.
The security side of that, since we're going down the survivalist, it takes about 5 to 7 people to manage 24-hour security, just so you know. People dedicated to watching. That was my job, right? We have 5-6 people in an embassy, and that's what it takes to have 24-hour manned security to prevent compromise of your land, right? And that's kind of, 5 you're pretty good, you know? 3, you got 3 people who are working 8 hours a day on security. And those are people who aren't going to have food. Those are people who are just protecting. You got to feed them. You got to start. That's the community, right, Dale? I mean, you got to think about that stuff.
Hey, by the way, Coach, I like that shirt.
Yeah, I already talked about that. I got people wanting that shirt. You must have got in here late, Dale. I came right out of the
gate. I did.
Talking about your shirt. Came right out of the gate. Man up. Amen. Anybody, something else you want to flick out there?
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead.
Coach, just want to let you know, the guys are listening. Any of the guys that can't make it to Lima this weekend locally, we will be down at the first ever Gay Pride Parade, 5:30 Saturday night. Looks like we've got about 7 or 8 of us coming. So we'll be down there, man. And David, we got some tracks made. David put together a 3-fold out track. I'm having them printed today, and he did a great job on with some his stuff in it and some scripture in the track when you open it. But on the front, it says, "I am gay. You can be too." So you know these people are going to put these tracks down there. It's like, well, I got 1,000 of them being printed today. We're going in Saturday night.
Wow. I wanted to get some of those for Saturday, for next week. That's good.
Yeah, we're going to get some more printed for next week for that.
That's good.
It's not like we need a t-shirt that says, "I am saved, you can be too."
How about I used to be a homo, now I'm gay.
Yeah, he's got that in there too, along with his pictures. And then the very back flip of it, it says, "You were not born that way, you need to be born again." So he's got it laid out really nice.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, good. Hey, let me show you a couple. Just we haven't done much scripture today. Scriptures. Jared, let's go to my Facebook page, Jared. I got a couple things on there one guys to see. Boy, I had so much to talk about. It's been good. And so much. It's just the information. Thank God for the internet. God, how stupid I used to be. But I'm not anymore. So Jared's jumping on my Facebook page, and let me see what is that where I went? No. Where'd you start, Jared? I'm sorry. That's a good one to show. Hey, here we go. Hey, guys, watch this. There's a couple different things I want you to see here. Watch this. This is, guys, and we're so sick. We are so sick. I want you to watch this video. This is a transgender boy. In other words, a boy running in a race as a girl. A 100-meter race. Now, I noticed this. It's only going to take a minute. Terry Miller of Bulecki Bulkley wins the 100-meter girls dash. Terry Miller. It's a meet record. And Andrea Yearwood is second, and they are both boys. Now, when are the women going to stand? When's the women's movement going to stand up and scream about this? See, they're being hoisted on their own petard, aren't they? Because, see, they've crawled in bed. All of these social justice movements have crawled in bed together. So now we're seeing real women, biological women, being trampled on by boys, and the women's movement is silent. Why? Because they've locked arms with each other. There's a great civil war coming. And I don't know if I want you to watch this video. It's very, very short. Let me see. What's it say? It's 27 seconds, and I want you to let it run the whole thing. And I want you to watch after the race is over. I want you to watch the one of the girls when the race is over. They're walking back down the lanes, and I want you to watch the face that she makes when she looks over and she knows that a boy just beat her, and she's not allowed to say anything. Go ahead and let this roll, Jared. Watch your face. She knows. When, huh? Is that fair to women? Is that fair to women?
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, right? And you know why it's ridiculous about it? Coach, now you're going to get angry. Well, we let this crap go on. We're so freaking stupid. We let this go on. We let them tell us there's no difference between men and women. And we believe it. We're out of our stinking mind. I got another one I want to show you. Let me show you another one here, too. Jared, stay there on my Facebook page. Did you move off of it or did I? There I am. Okay, Jared, let's see. Here, Jared. Now, folks, I want you to watch this. This is one of the sickest things I think I have ever seen. How long is this, Jared? It's just a couple minutes, I think. This is a picture of the celebration in Ireland when the vote is announced that women can now murder their babies.
Ugh.
Huh? Now you tell me we're not sick. The greatest thing a woman could ever do is give birth to a child. It's the greatest gift. It's the greatest gift anybody could ever have. And I want you to watch. This is in Ireland. This is about 2 minutes. This is what we're up against, folks. You know, scriptures talk about without natural affection. This is it. Hey, these folks are, they're winning. These people are winning our cultural war, our culture. Oh, I got so much to talk about. Go ahead and let this roll, Jared. They get to kill their babies. Look at this. Is that wicked?
That's just evil. Straight up evil.
So it is wicked. It is wicked. Now, folks, again, why are they so zealous over death? We know the scripture says all those who hate me love death. They're zealous over death. Why aren't we zealous over life? Do you see the disconnect here? Those women are celebrating the fact that they get to kill their babies. Have been liberated.
Coach, when I seen that this morning, when I come on, that angered me very, very much. I mean, when I see them crying over murder of babies.
Man.
Crying. That's sick.
Those are tears of joy that they get to murder kids. That's what's wrong
with right. That's right. That's right. And then let me play one more quick little video for you. Jared, it says Magic Birth Canal. I love this is only 2 minutes.
Oh, what the heck?
I watch this. This is tongue in cheek. This is called the magical. Because remember, life doesn't. When does life begin? Life begins at when? Birth.
That's right.
Let's watch this. Go ahead, Jared.
You may think you've always had yours, But you would be wrong.
So how did you get your human rights?
From the magical birth canal, of course. Disclaimer. Birth canal is not the size of an actual birth canal. Just saying.
Before the baby or fetus is born, it is not a human being. Clearly. But as it passes through the birth canal, something amazing happens that transforms it into a person with human rights.
Observe. Not a person, not a person, not a person. Coming out the other end, a person! Human rights!
Congratulations. You now have value.
Can't say the same for this one. So what exactly happens in the birth canal that causes this magical transformation? No one knows. But popular scientific theories include fairies, aliens, or of course, a mini Big Bang.
I think it's fairies.
No human rights? Human rights. No human rights? Human rights. Makes sense.
Thanks, magical birth canal.
Science, logic, magic. Human rights.
It's true, isn't it?
Hmm.
See, the ones who cry science the loudest deny it the most.
Right.
We got girls who've trained their whole lives to win the state championship 100-yard meter dash, and they lose to a boy, and we say, Oh, where's the women livers on that? Huh? We say that a baby, that's not a baby. It's a blob of tissue. When does it come a baby? When it's born. See, we ought to make the scientists stand on science. But we don't. We don't. Come on in here. Help me close down here today.
Hey, Mike, let me take a minute here. There may be some that want to go ahead and shut us off a minute early because I'm going to talk.
Larry's not the official theologian. Go ahead, Larry.
Right. I am not the official theologian. You know, one of the things about STAB is we realize that STAB will not be successful unless we can come together with the thousands of other groups that are already out there, already doing good things in all different kinds of areas that will make an improvement to our country. STAB simply recognizes that none of those good ideas are going to happen unless a couple of things happen. One of them is we got to come together and work in unity on some things. And the other is none of those ideas are going to become reality unless the politicians look at them, unless the politicians consider them. And that's where STAB comes in, a concerted, specific effort to get the politicians to look at the problem. STAB is not trying to fix the problem. We're just trying to get it looked at by the people that can have an opportunity to fix it. So a lot of you out there may have organizations. You may be a part of an organization that is doing good stuff. Get in contact with me because I want to promote your organization on the STAB website. I want our STAB members to look at the opportunity to join with other organizations doing other things. There might be something in your organization that turns one of our guys on and that they want to be a member of your thing. We got to work together. I've got to promote you, and all I ask you promote us, and we work together. That's all I'm asking.
So let me go back a couple of years here, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, Tea Party. Remember the Tea Party? You know why the Tea Party failed? Because everybody who came to the Tea Party came with their own agenda. Some were about taxation. Some were about gun rights. Some were about whatever. And my experience was very few of them were about God. They didn't want the moral issues they didn't want to go to. I'm not trying to pee on your parade, Larry. I'm just telling you that Larry has nailed the issue. We don't play together. Our issue is the most important, and we don't play with anybody else. That's why we don't advance the ball. And you look at the left. We've got women's rights supporting transgender rights who take away women's rights. It's just craziness. But see, they are unified. Now, what's going to happen to the left is it's all going to come to a point. At some point, some women are going to stand up and say, this sucks. This is stupid. And then there's going to be an infighting because they're not standing on any truth. And the point Larry made and that I echo is if it's not what I think is important, I ain't playing. And we ain't going to win that way. But at the same time, I understand. Everybody has their own. I understand. I get it. Hey, have a great weekend. Mike Spalding tonight, 7 o'clock, 423 Grand Avenue, I think it is, in Lima, Ohio. You can find it at Soaring Radio, Soaring Eagle Radio. All the information is there. See some of you there tonight. God bless you. Have a great weekend.